and it's about the organization of the work. Wasn't it wonderful? There was a sort of like a wall coming through the door as you entered the building. It was like, that was looked like a wall, eh? Well, this is organization of the work. Nehemiah chapter 3. I will read from verses 1 to 5. I think that's all we'll be able to comprehend today, is just five verses. Then the high priest, Eliashib, set to work with his fellow priests and rebuilt the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of the hundred and as far as the tower of Hananel. And the men of Jericho built next to him, and next to them Zakur, son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasenah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts and its bars. Next to them, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, son of Bana, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. I'm going to say that last line. This might have something for us. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. And may God bless us with the understanding and pour his spirit so we can understand what he has for us. Amen.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, morning.
I'm glad I didn't have to read that. Because when I started thinking about, when Ron asked me a few weeks ago to speak, this passage from Nehemiah kept speaking to me, and it kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. So I went, when I went back to Nehemiah and had a look through the word, I was thinking, I really don't want to read this out on everybody because I'm going to get tongue-tied, and I start crying anyway when I speak, so it's going to be even worse if I, you know, mispronounce these people's names. So what better than the person who asked me to speak to read that passage to you? Now, in today's reading, I just want to give you a background of what happened, of why there was an organization to work. And the prophet Nehemiah lived in a time when high walls were a vital part of a city's defenses and security. No offense to my brother who said it was the walls of Jericho that we're talking about. It's the walls, rebuildings of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah lived in what was somewhat comfortable life in the court of the king of Persia. And when you look at Wikipedia or other books, history books, it shows that these kings or this line of kings like to portray themselves or like to talk themselves up by calling themselves the King of Kings. Now, as the king's official cupbearer, Nehemiah was the one that tasted everything before it got to the king. Because if anybody tried to poison him, then he would be the one to die. Now, because he was also close to the king, and like a good leader, the king noticed that there was something that Nehemiah was not happy about. Because he had just got a visit from his brother Hanani, and his brother was telling him about the walls of Jerusalem still ruined. And it wasn't news to Nehemiah. But the thing was, they were still in ruins and they weren't built after all these years. So he fasted and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed for months. And he said to the Lord, what is happening here? So when the king saw Nehemiah looking the way he did, he said to him, what's wrong? And Nehemiah was a bit unsure and told him. And then the king said to him, what do you request? Now, why would a king ask such a question to someone who on a grander scale of things was a nobody. The fall guy who always put his life on the line first, not knowing if his first sip or his next bite would be his very last. And so the wars and destruction of Jerusalem really spoke and touched the heart. It cut to the very heart of this very prayerful man. And in his request to Nehemiah asked to be sent back home to help rebuild the walls of the city that he loved, the city that housed the new temple, the city that housed the temple which his very God dwelled in. Now, in the king understanding Nehemiah's desire and heart for his beloved city, the king sent him. And to help him further, he made this this journey an official mission and gave him soldiers and documents for his protection and other letters as well to allow him access to any material that he wanted, because the treasury of the king of Persia was going to bankroll the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls. Nehemiah, in his heart, kept in his heart the true purpose of his mission. And when the time was right, he began to organize the biggest working bee, even bigger than the one he had yesterday, of its time. And it wasn't just any working bee, a working bee of epic proportions. And what Nehemiah saw that it needed everyone connected to the tribes of Israel to continue to build on top of the foundational work that was already done before. These foundations were laid by the remnant of Israel who started to build the temple. But the great city would still be vulnerable to invaders because the walls were still incomplete. So to bring people together, Nehemiah surveyed what work needed to be done. And he started to use the families that were available to work to help him with this rebuild. And the important thing to remember is that this rebuild, that because of this, for this rebuild, the people wanted it to happen. And even though Nehemiah found some detractors to this vision, when the war was completed, the benefit was for everyone's, not just for those who did the work. You see, Israel was divided already for 500 years, and in bringing in the remnants of Israel in the north and Judah in the south, Nehemiah had brought the wayward children of God together, working as one. Nehemiah's problem was that he was rich. Nehemiah's problem was that he was short on resources, but he was rich in a vision that he pleaded with God to help him with. And ensuring that each person built up the areas in front of their own homes, the rebuild was completed in record time. And even after he was sent back to the king, went back to the king of Persia, the king sent him back to the area again, and this time as a governor, where he was judge over the people that were there. And then again, he started to remove people from the temple because they started to use the temple for worshipping their own gods like they did before, which is what the prophets in the past were already prophesying for the destruction of Judah and Israel. Now, all that is a big mouthful, and it's a lot to take in. But that is a quick snapshot or summary of Nehemiah's story. And if it was up to me right now, and if it was up to the praise and worship team, I'd be finished right now. I should be saying amen and stepping off. Because on Wednesday, they told me I tend to go on a little bit, you know, sometimes. But if you see Ron reading the Shepherd's Crook, then let me know so I can duck out of the way. But I shouldn't really be bad to them because, you know, this morning they fed me steak and eggs and sausages and bacon. So, yeah. Now, I wonder, while hearing the story about Nehemiah, it is beginning to illuminate a similar story that we might all be taking in either our personal capacity or as a congregation. Now, in the coming months, Nape and I, along with our children, will be continuing our journey with God at another parish. Now, we hope that we have laid good foundations here at Greyfriars that enables those that follow to build on so it can grow to bigger and better things to glorify God. Now, at the moment, For those who don't know, we are in the process of laying new foundations with Howick Presbyterian Church, where we will be inserting ourselves into the foundations that are already there. And we hope that we, while we're serving God there, that we can add some value there as well to their church. Now, I know that some of you are going to be jumping for joy to see the back of Nape, but even though we don't want to leave Greyfriars, we know that this is going to be a necessary step in our faith journey with God. And that we pray that one day will culminate in us looking after our own congregation. Now, over the 20 plus years that Nape and I have known each other, God continues to shape and mold us into a couple so that we can work in sync with each other and at the same time growing in our faith together. And being able to see God's hand at work, even though it's been difficult at times. And even though in the early years it was really difficult to see God, but we have always known that He was there, whether we acknowledged Him or not. And our individual journeys have not been easy because over the years we both have built up walls of protection around ourselves so that the hurts and that we've experienced throughout our lives does not show on our faces, or that we use these walls of protection so that no one hurts us again. Now, the problem with these defensive walls is that they sometimes manifest itself in lashing out, like the way an animal lashes out when to protect itself when it's either sick or it's injured. And we had brought those hurts from our previous lives into our married life. And sometimes, I feel sorry, but I confess as well that our children have bore the brunt of this. And at times we've become too overprotective of them as well. But what we have found, however, in that when we gave our lives to Christ and we have grown in our relationship with Him, Christ came through and busted down those walls. And He stepped into the void and says, "Here I am. Ask me what you will, and it will be given to you." And even though my wife and my children sometimes they still annoy me and push my patience to its limits, what you see before you is a broken down model of a person who was prideful and self-centered. It's always the amens that get me, you know? You know, I stand here before you vulnerable and exposed all over again. But I'm free because God has set me free. You know, the tears that you see me cry each time I stand up here help me to realize that God has gotten through what really pains me. And I know that there's going to be many, many more tears to cry. But when God places something on your heart, whether it is a word from another person or whether it is Jesus Himself calling you out, I knew that it was time to stop thinking about myself. And with God's help, I began to slowly start letting go of all the things that were weighing me down. The more I knew who Jesus was, the more I began to trust Him, and I found myself asking Jesus to rearrange these pieces of the wall that I had surrounding me all my life so that I could use the effects of these experiences in service of Him. And in doing what I would finally see that who I am truly as a real person, but also as someone who believed that God had a special mission for him. You know, living behind high walls were vital to one's survival in Nehemiah's time. But to us today, the invisible defensive walls that we want to build up as a protection of our feelings to hide our vulnerability at times hinder us from getting close to God. Because we allow our feelings to make God weak like us by thinking that He cannot help us in our situations. But you know, I know in my heart that He is constantly wanting to break down those walls But I know in my heart that He is constantly wanting to break down these walls we put up to get to your heart so that the Holy Spirit can do its work in showing us what God's peace truly feels like. Believe that if He can raise Christ from the dead, His love can soften any hardened heart. What would it feel like to have true peace, that you are able to sleep at night knowing that because God is near, you are safe and protected, and that there is nothing that will ever hurt you again. What would it feel like to know true love and knowing that even though we have done wrong, we can ask for forgiveness and it will be given us? What would it feel like when the true King of Kings calls us home, and when we appear before the judgment throne, he says, "Enter, my true and faithful servant." So in saying all of that, I always like to share three quick things from the passages that we've read. And I believe these three things hopefully are important, that not only helps us illustrate the text, but by way of application for our lives, we can see no matter what period of life that we live or what time we live in, God's lessons and God's teachings and God's truths are timeless, because he truly is the author of all things. And I have chosen three things because I was told at a very young age when I went to school that I had to go to school to learn my ABCs. And like most of you already know, that every time I speak, I can't count to four, because I learned 1, 2, 3 at school. And as Ron can testify, Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music said that the foundation for any good song starts with Do, Re, Mi, which, if we use the same concept as Christians, we can relate to it, because the three most important things that we know that helps us make sense of all these things in life that we live is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing, I'd like to talk about the unity of the different people who worked on the wall of Jerusalem. Part of their success came from their leader having a vision, but he also came with a drive to achieve that vision. Nehemiah's vision was very simple, and it was simply build the wall. Greyfriars and Epsom, now you have agreed to become one. You are blessed to have two leaders with John and Ron who are here to drive this vision, which could simply just be grow God's kingdom, or simply be spread Jesus' name. Because for not utilizing the combined skills of both John and Ron would be just as bad as doing nothing at all. Now, I don't want anybody to be alarmed that when we start coming together as a church with Epsom, that at the early stages of building a new church, we could feel like we are about to lose a little bit of who we are. But this feeling should be nothing new to Christians, because when you gave your lives to Christ, we lost a lot of who we once were in the eyes of the world. And when we agreed to join with Christ, we became a new creation in him. You know, for many of us, whether we admit it or not, change is very difficult. But one word of encouragement that I would like to give you during this time is that do not think about what might be lost to us in the past, but dwell on what will be gained by this new church for the many in the future. The leaders and the families whom helped to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem gave of themselves to the work that needed to be done. And the work was completed because they knew that their little bit added to their neighbors a little bit, that when completed meant a secure and stable wall. Your coming together as a new church, giving a little bit of yourselves that when finished means that God's work in this area has a secure and stable foundation with which to build upon. It is not a new build. The foundations are already in place, which all the different ministries in the church can and will spring from. The parish team leaders, they've already been meeting for over a year, and each leader and elder of the different ministries have aligned the things that they want to achieve with the church's vision. All that is needed now is to make it happen, and it needs people to make it happen. I'm not standing here as an advocate for John or for Ron and asking on behalf of all the different teams for volunteers. But what I'm going to say, I hope, is a little pinprick in your side. And that is, no matter what our ministers preach here on Sunday, the great feelings of excitement that we all feel after hearing their message will mean nothing if we as the people of the congregation hearing those words do not help them put the words into action. You've heard me say before that Christ himself preached great and powerful messages, and his words and his teachings cut deep into the souls of men. But all of those would have been for nothing if his disciples did not actually step out in faith and do something with that message. Secondly, those who worked on the wall were sure of what they were, the foundations that they were laying down. And this is a lesson that Nape and I have learned the hard way in the past. Understanding the calling that God had in our lives meant that we could not build a strong foundation on the hurts that we had experienced in our past. Because Christ not only knocked on the door of our hearts, he ripped those things from his hinges, opened his arms to us and said, "Build your foundations on this." The gospel truth is that he is the only gate that can be used to enter the kingdom of God. You are not building your foundations on John or on Ron or even the ministries that Greyfriars Epsom have in place. But you are building your foundations on the message that God loved us so much that he willingly sent and his son willingly went to the cross to die for all of us. We as a church are not the light of the world. Jesus Christ is. What we are building here is not our own house, but it's a sanctuary for God's people, standing tall like a lighthouse, shining its beacon to the stressed out people in our community. Your coming together strengthens the hope that God will have in this area, because you are not here to shine your light, but you are shining his light. You are shining Jesus on those who are facing life's difficulties. You are shining Jesus on the lost so that we as a church can identify who they are and step out to help them. You are shining Jesus onto our community because it lights our path so that we know which way to go. Our priority as Christians should be to seek, but we can't save. Only Jesus can save. Let us always remember that Christ is the reason why we are a church. Forgetting something like that means that we both lose our identity as Christians and also as the gathered body of Christ. Now, my third and final point, I'm almost finished if you guys are falling asleep, is going to relate directly to the passage and what that we read in a literal sense. And that is, what part of the walls of the new Greyfriars Epsom church are you going to work on? What part of the walls of the new Greyfriars Epsom Church are you going to work on? Please don't get me wrong as we go through this final point. I'm not here to make anybody feel guilty or put pressure on you. But can we ask ourselves, can we do a little more than what we are currently doing in our church? Because as we have read, when many people do a little each, a lot can be achieved. If we take the passage literally and begin to work in areas in front of us, then we have to start with ourselves. Because if we are not physically or spiritually healthy, then we not only become a liability to ourselves, we become a liability to each other. When I sit and when I read scripture, as well as trying to find Christ in the things that I'm reading, I always try and see my life as a Christian and how they can be illuminated in the words. And while thinking about this third point, I began to think about what the verse would look like if I apply it to us here today. So I hope I don't get accused of causing any heresies or blasphemies or even struck down by the Lord. But when I thought about this passage, I began to read the first few verses of our passage that Juan read for us today this way. And the senior minister and his community minister built the new worship area, beginning with a new entrance into the church, and after consecrating the building, opened its doors to show the congregation and the community that the new church was finally open for worship. From there, Don and Diana and the rest of the elders helped them by building up a new team to lead those into the different ministries out the doors and into the community as witnesses for Christ. And then Lauren and the care team set its care station armed with the peace and the comfort of God to receive those who were in need of both physical and spiritual care. Next to them, Pat was building a new office area to handle the influx of new members, while next to her, the prayer team petitioned God on everyone's behalf for his protection and guidance. Next to them, Lofi, along with her team of Lena and Andrew and Dana, had the children excitedly making new props and putting together final touches to a new musical for the youth group and Sunday school to preach God's word through word and song. Does that sound good to anybody? How does that sound? How would it sound if you replaced your name with those names? You know, I haven't even mentioned the worship team. They make a really good steak. The G-Set team, mainly music, the play group, Men at Greyfriars, Grace Women's Ministry, or even the missions team. Where can you see yourself in this passage? You know, we could go on and on because there will never be a shortage of things to do in God's church, because everyone has a role to play, whether it's a big role or a small role. I know that there are gaps, and the names that I've used are mainly Greyfriars people. But when we start laying new brick after new brick on what has already been established, then we will indeed start seeing new names appear. Now, in conclusion, for Nape and our children and I, we have a new journey that we're about to embark on, and so do you. And even though our paths are going off in different directions for now, because we will all be working to grow God's kingdom and to spread Jesus' name, there will be a point when we all will meet up again. Because when you guys do your little bit and when we do our little bit, we will eventually join up together again because of the body of Christ works to help and nourish and grow its members. Let's all start working together and start adding another brick to the wall, because if we don't, then God's kingdom won't grow if we just sit back and do nothing at all. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask as a church that we be used to further the work of extending your kingdom. Gracious God, all of our hope is in you and in your Son Jesus, who died for us. Renew within us a desire to serve you as we set about building a strong relationship with you, and also building a strong church that loves you, loves each other, and loves the lost. And while we grow as a church that lives to worship you, we ask that you light our path and lead us. And we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.